God bless y'all. I tell you what, that's an awesome little song right there. I always remember an old mentor of mine. He wrote a synopsis or whatever you want to call it on Psalms 91. And that scripture has always been near and dear to my heart. Y'all ever read it, Psalms 91? Mm-hmm. Well, there's some particular verses in there that are particularly inerrant for everyone that professes the name of Jesus. And if you read it, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just start at verse 9, it says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." He came to live and to dwell in your heart and in your life. And that is the reason why you have his protection. He protects you because he lives in you. And then it goes on to say, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over you." You see, he is our great protector. He is the one that we can always turn to. He's the one that we can always depend upon. And then it says, "to keep you in all your ways." You see, that's what he does for each and every one that trusts in him, is he helps us. He helps us keep our ways. He helps keep us in line. You know, my wife does her best to keep me in line. You know, Lily does a really good job of it. She really does. But you know something? God does a better job. God does a better job. Because Lily can only go so far, but God can reach within you to your innermost being and touch you where no human being can ever touch. That's what makes God so awesome for mankind, so awesome for the human race, is that he can come and live and dwell within our hearts. And not only does he keep us in line, but he also helps us to live this life each and every day. You know, I don't say this lightly, but I don't know what I did before I met Jesus. I don't know what on earth I was thinking about before I met Jesus, because he made such a difference in my heart and in my life that where would I ever go back to? I don't know if y'all feel that way, but what could I go back to? Nothing. That's right. No thing. Nothing. Nothing at all is worth going back to once you have tasted of that divine glory of knowing him. Nothing. Nothing. You know, God has given each and every one of us a measure of faith. That's what the Word of God says. It says that God has given each one a measure of faith. That's Romans 12:3. He's given each one of us a measure of faith. Now, I want you to think about this with me this morning. You know, over in 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a commander of a great army there. His name was Naaman. And you know, Naaman wasn't afraid of nothing. Okay? He was most feared by everyone because of his great command that he had. But you know, a problem with Naaman was he had leprosy. And leprosy was highly contagious. People had to stay away from you. But that didn't keep him from being the meanest man on the block, though. Okay? Didn't keep him from commanding the greatest army. Didn't keep him from any of those things. But he wanted to be healed. You know, and he heard about this man in Syria that could heal him. So he talked to his king, who talked to the king in Israel about getting healed. And he even sent a letter to him and said, I want you to heal him. Well, you know, the king of Israel, he knew, I don't have no power to heal nobody. But I know somebody that does. And you know, old Naaman, he goes there, and he got, y'all know who that was, Elijah, right? And so he goes to visit Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't even come out of the house. He wouldn't come out of the house. He sent word to him. He said, look, go down and dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan, and you'll be healed. Well, you know, this commander, he was full of pride. He was full of himself. You know something? Sometimes to have a great faith in God, we got to get rid of ourselves. You know, sometimes we're so big on ourselves that we can't even believe for the smallest miracle. You think about that. What holds us back from having that great faith? In his case, it was beneath him to do that small thing. Sometimes it takes really great faith to do simple things. And that was a simple thing for Naaman to do. And it took his servants coming to him and saying, look, master, if he'd have asked you to do some really hard thing or some really great thing or some really dangerous thing, you'd have done all that you could to get her done. But he's asked you to do something very simple, and you scoff at it. You know something? Naaman came to himself. Naaman saw the fault was with him and not with Elijah. The fault was within him because of his pride, that he could not see this miracle that would be brought about if he just had that faith. If he exercised, you ever heard of spiritual exercises? Like getting up and down during a song service? That's spiritual exercises, okay? But exercising your faith sometimes takes work. Sometimes it takes putting yourself aside. Sometimes it takes denying yourself. So what'd he do? He went down and he didn't dip just once. I'm sure when he finally came to himself and he got over himself and he decided that, hey, you know something? This is just a simple thing. Even though there are rivers that are close by that are much cleaner than the Jordan, I'll just do like he asked. Because even my servants see the worth of it. Do you see the worth of having absolute trust and faith in Jesus Christ? Or is it something that we just talk about? Because I'm going to tell you, the way that you act, the way you do, the way you show your faith in this world, they will recognize who you are. They will know who you have faith in and who you are being faithful to. Because you see, there's a whole lot, even in that scripture that I first told you about, Romans 12:3, says God has given a measure of faith to everyone. Now let me ask you something. What is that faith? What is this faith that God has given? Faith for what? Faith in what? It says he's given everyone that. That includes, that's Christian, that's Jew, that's unbeliever, that's Muslim, that's Hindu, that's Buddhist, that's... You see what I mean? There's all kinds of faith out there. People put their faith in all kinds of things. In fact, they put their faith in all kinds of things that's that it ought not be. But you know, that's just the way some people think, unfortunately, because they hadn't let God change their mind. They hadn't let God change their heart. You know, faith for what? People have faith in lots of things. One thing that is really bad is these people that they set up on a pedestal. And they have faith and belief in people. Or they have faith and belief in governments. Boy, that's really bad. Amen. They have faith and belief in rulers. And people that seem to be doing so well. They put their faith in their money. They put their faith in power. They put their faith in houses and lands and automobiles and boats. They put their faith in everything except God. Think about it. See, there's all kinds of faith out there. All kinds of faith. But the only faith that really matters is faith in God. That's the only faith that will see you through to eternal life is faith in God. Faith. What is it? Do we have a light switch that can turn off all the lights? Is there a light switch back there that can turn off all the lights? Well, I'll tell you what, we won't do that, but you're going to get the point. If we turned off all the lights and it was dark outside and there were no night lights, it'd get plumb dark in here, wouldn't it? Can I tell you what? That's a perfect picture of dead faith. That's a perfect picture of no faith in God. You could read it in the Word of God in many different ways. But not to know God is total darkness. Walking around in the dark, blinded. In fact, in the dark, you don't have to be blinded because you can't see. That don't mean you're blind. That just means you can't see. So no faith and dead faith is walking in darkness, right? But faith in God is light. Faith in God is seeing clearly into those things that are not as though they are. Y'all know the definition of faith as far as what the Bible says. It's the substance of those things that are not seen. Right? It's evidence. Evidence. Let's look at it over in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1. For faith is the substance. Substance, in that case, is the realization of. All of a sudden, the light switch turned on and I can see. It is the realization of things hoped for. It's those things that we hope for those things, but we haven't seen them yet, and then all of a sudden we do. That is faith. All of a sudden we see that. That's faith seen. And then he goes on to say, the evidence of things not seen. Those things that were invisible, those things that we did not understand, those things that we could not see, all of a sudden, they are made very apparent right in front of us. That is faith. That is believing without a shadow of doubt. Think about it. Do we really believe that way? Do we believe in our heart of hearts for the things that God can do, the things that we cannot see, the things that we can't even think or imagine? See, on your bulletin, it says impossible. Well, there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing, no thing is impossible with God. But you see, active faith always turns the light on. Active faith always walks in the light, not in the darkness. He called us out of the darkness into the light, that we might be able to see clearly. And the more faith, the stronger the faith, the quantity of the faith, the more that you are tested, the greater faith that you will have to see those things that you have never seen, to understand those things that you have never understood, to witness those things that you thought were impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. That's what faith is, faith. I don't know if you ever thought about faith being that way, but like I said, there's all kinds of faith, but the only faith that matters is faith in God. The only thing that matters is faith in God. You know, there was an evangelist, preacher, pastor, minister. Y'all know R.W. Shambach? I love that man. I don't ever remember seeing him, not even on TV. But I used to listen to him on the radio. And that man never closed any of his broadcasts without saying, y'all know what he used to say? It made an impression on me as a young Christian, listening to this guy, the power that emanated over that speaker. And this man would say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Can I tell you that the longer that you know Him, the more that you know Him, the more that you know about Him, the more that you know Him through that personal relationship with Him, the greater faith that you will have. Because you know what faith is? Absolute trust. Do you absolutely trust Him for your very life today? Because you see, you really don't, as a Christian, as a born again child of the King, bought by the blood of the Lamb, you really don't have any problems unless you let those problems have you. All you need is faith, absolute trust in God. Amen. What can you believe for today? Because you see, if you can believe for it and it lines up with God's will, we preached on that here several Sundays ago, we preached on God's will. If we line it up with God's will and God's way and God's word, guess what? Nothing is impossible for you to ask for in faith. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't make it up. That's what it says. So do we really have that kind of faith where we call upon God and we just know that we know that we know that that's what's going to happen? You know, even Jesus posed a question. He posed this question over in Luke 18:8. Luke 18:8. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? Jesus posed that to us. When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith? You see, the way that we show our faith determines whether or not people really see Jesus in you or not. Because that'll be who you really are. Because you see, that faith living within you will become you. That's just like Holy Spirit living within you. You'll become the things of God. You'll be used of God. You'll show the world. I want the world to have what we got. How about y'all? I want them to have that blessed assurance. I want them to have those things in their heart and in their lives that brings peace and calm and love and joy. Because I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no law against none of that. At least not yet, anyway. Politicians hadn't dreamed one up yet, but they are. They will. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Stay ready. Have faith. Because you see, when these things happen, you need to be already ready. Because you might not have time to get ready. Think about that. I've told y'all before, old mentor of mine, you tell me that practice makes perfect and you perform at the level of your practice. Did you know if you practice something long enough and it becomes a habit of something that you do all the time, as soon it becomes something you do without even thinking about it. When the situation presents itself, you just do that. Well, do we automatically show our faith in the face of trial, tribulation, destruction, bad things coming into our lives, sickness, disease, bad relationships? Do we first grab a hold of our faith in God and say, none of these things shall move me? Do we really? Something to think about. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you practice standing on the Word of God at all times, you won't have to think about it when that time comes. You'll just automatically stand on His Word. But I'm going to tell you what, you cannot give away what you do not possess. If you don't study His Word, you won't know His Word, and you can't stand on something that you don't have. Think about it. Think about it. You know, it's got to be in you. Or like old Hank Williams would say, if it's in you, it's got to come out, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever's in you is going to come out. You know, the Bible says if you hide the good things in your heart, if you hide those sweet things, those peaceful things, those things of God, you hide it in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth, won't it? He said you can't have salt and sweet coming out of the same spring. So if you hide those sweet things within you through faith in God, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Sweet things. Great things. Wonderful things. Uplifting things. I told all the men at a marriage seminar one time, I said, you always need to remember to keep your words sweet because one day you may have to eat them. I've had to eat a few. Because you see, my wife is right next to Jesus. She's just near about perfect. She's got me snowed anyway. So, will he really find faith on earth when he comes? You know, we don't know when he's coming, except that he's coming in an hour that you think not. That's the only thing I know for sure about his coming is he's coming when I ain't thinking about it. That's the only thing I know for sure about his coming. So I must have faith at all times, in all seasons, for all things. Faith. Is your faith in God that strong? Faith in God produces faithfulness to God. Faith in God produces faithfulness to God. Not part-time, not sometime, not convenient time, but all the time. all the time, every time. You must remain faithful to God at all times, for you really don't know when He's coming, do we? I mean, there are self-proclaimed prophets out there. They think they know, but Word of God, I think, overrides every bit of their stuff. Amen. Don't it? It needs to. You see, the writer in Hebrews 10:38 says that the just ones shall live by faith. Just ones are the saved of God. That's who the just ones are. They are the saved of the Most High God. The believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They shall live by faith. Are we living? You ask yourself a question. Are you living by faith? Don't put your trust in everything but God. Put your trust only in God. Then you'll be living by faith. You see, the faith, the just ones are those who are saved. And then it goes on to say, for if we draw back or we quit being faithful, He has no pleasure in us. That's a scary scripture. You can read about willful disobedience. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. That's a really scary scripture. You see, we're in danger of losing out with Him. Y'all can read it any way you want to, but that's what it says to me. That's enough to keep me in line and keep me going straight and not wandering off on the Broadway, you know? Anybody can get over on the Broadway. It takes somebody looking at where they're going to stay on that straight and narrow way. It takes somebody who's thinking about what they're thinking about to stay on the straight and narrow. It takes somebody who has that kind of faith in God that He is able to keep you each and every day. But can I tell you something? You got to want to. You got to want to be kept. Because He ain't going to make you do nothing. In fact, there's a scripture in there that says, you don't want to do like I tell you to do? No problem. I'll turn you over to that corrupt mind. You can have it. You can have it. I don't want to be a part of that party. I don't want to be a part of that crowd. You see, Hebrews 10, 26, 27, if we willingly, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, if we willingly sin, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of the judgment. It speaks for itself, folks. It speaks for itself. That ought to make us in every day, in every way, with every thought, with every breath, remain faithful to Him. I don't want any room for doubt. Now, I know about His grace. I understand that. And it's a good thing that God is the judge and not us. It's a good thing. Because He applies mercy and grace when men and women don't. Only by His grace, huh? But He does expect us to do our part. If I was you, I wouldn't walk on the edge of that cliff. I'd stay right up next to Him. Just as much as you possibly and humanly and physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially can. Stay right with Him. That is the safest place you'll be here on the face of this earth, is with Him. Faith in Him. He says, you know, last time I checked, I don't really know when He's coming, so I got to stay ready. I got to stay ready. See, you got to know Him. You got to get saved. You got to follow him. These are all got to's. You got to do that. Otherwise, you're headed the wrong direction. Otherwise, you're staying with the wrong company. Don't go there. Stay right next to him. Get to know him more. Because I'm going to tell you what, the more you know him, the more you're going to know that he loves you. The more you're going to know about him, the closer you will draw to him. Amen. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. If you're not spending that quality time in his word and in prayer, you're missing out. You're missing out. You know, you ought to want to learn everything you possibly can about everything about him. Don't you want to know? Do you? You got to be sincere about it. Listen, God can spot insincerity a mile off, okay? Because he knows your heart. See, you must think on him all the time, being faithful to him all the time. Don't take a chance of doing it any other way but his way. Don't take that chance. I'm telling you, it ain't worth it. It's not worth it. I've been on the other side, okay? Maybe some of y'all have been on the other side. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't all it's cracked up to be. You know, the Word of God tells you that sin is only pleasurable for a season. And then you're going to be judged by it. And it ain't going to be a good judgment. It ain't going to be a good outcome. But if you get over on his side, being faithful to him, it's always a good outcome. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what happens to you, it's always a good outcome. Always. Every time. Nothing is impossible for God. Read your Bible, faithfully pray, talk to him. Talk to him every day, talk to him. And then I'll tell you something more important than that. Listen to him. Listen to him. Shut up for a minute and listen to him. See, about 50% of prayer ought to be listening. You learn something new every time he talks to you. You see, there's a whole bunch of folks out there that want to serve God, but the only way they want to serve him is as advisors. You think about that just a minute. Well, I know what God says, but this is what I think. I know what he wants me to do, but this is what I want to do. See, you ain't got faith in God like he wants you to have faith in him, if that's the way that you think. All you got to do is read it in the Word of God. It's in there. I might say it a little bit different, but it's in there. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or confidence in things that we cannot see. Verse 2 says, by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. A good testimony. You want a good testimony? You want people to know you by a good testimony? Have faith in God. Faith in God. Verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were created by the spoken word. Have you ever seen a word spoken? I've seen people speak words, but I've never seen that word. It was framed by the spoken word. So I just kind of paraphrase that next part. It says, so what you see is not made by what you see. What you see is not made by what you see. It is made by the eternal creator. The one who is invisible, yet fully visible. Think about it. He is everywhere at all times. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. Like Richard Wurmbrand used to say, your experience with God is yours, and you are never at the mercy of a man with an argument about God. You see, my experiences with God is something I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. Nobody can tell me that there is no God. No one. You can say the words, but they will not compute in my brain. They will not compute in my spirit. No way, shape, or form. So we understand the worlds were created by the spoken word. So what we see is not made by what we see. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. You want a more excellent sacrifice in your life? Have faith in God. By faith, Enoch had a testimony of pleasing God. Pleasing God. He said it is impossible to please God without faith. You want to please God? Have faith in God. It says that by faith Noah was divinely warned. You see, he had the royal telephone. Lord called him up and said, hey dude, this is what's going to happen. Get ready. Build me a boat. I'm going to tell you how long, how tall, and how wide. Build me a boat. He was moved in godly fear, and by faith, he was an heir of righteousness. It's in there. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He just obeyed. Y'all read about Abraham all through all that scripture in there? Abraham was always obeying, wasn't he? You might say that he took a blind leap of faith, except I can truthfully tell you there ain't nothing blind about faith. There's nothing about it. It may be something you can't see, but that don't mean you're blind. Just like being in the dark. That don't mean you're blind, it just means you can't see. So there's nothing blind about faith. Faith is believing and trusting totally in Him. Faith. So he obeyed. He's suffering for God is not the worst thing that will happen in your life. Can I tell you that? Sometimes faith will bring suffering into your life. Disobedience to God is the worst thing you can let happen. Suffering is not. Disobedience is. Disobedience will get you eternal death. By faith, Sarah was strengthened to conceive and bear a child at 90 years old. And all the women said, oh me, help me, Lord. 90 years old, conceive and bear a child. By faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph realized future events. Read it in there. They realized future events. They obeyed God. They suffered affliction. They saw miracles that saved nations. By faith, the people of God, the prophets of old, the believers on the Lord Jesus Christ overcame every obstacle. Your faith will help you overcome. There ain't nothing out there too big for God. Nothing. All you need is faith in God. They overcame every obstacle, and then they obtained a good testimony. Right there in the book of Hebrews, it'll talk to you. Listen to James. It's worth reading just a minute. Y'all stay with me just a minute. The book of James, chapter 1, starting at that second verse there. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When have you rejoiced over sickness, disease? When have you rejoiced when things fell apart? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's the one great thing about faith. You've heard it said before, don't pray for my patience. Because you got to be tested to have patience. Otherwise, you won't know if you got it. That's true. That's true. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why don't you play a little bit for us, sister? But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Did you know that faith will produce stability? You see, if you have absolute trust and absolute faith in God, you will be stable in all your ways. You know, people are known by their stability in this life. You think about that. Someone who can be trusted. Someone who can be depended upon. Someone that you can go to with anything, with no condemnation. Can we not go to God like that? Is he not the ultimate one that we can go to? You see, men may fail you, but God never will. God never will. He is always right there for us, no matter what, no matter how, no matter who. So faith in God is the strongest thing that you will ever have in your life. You might say that your very life depends upon it. Your very eternal life does. Because you see, one day we all get to leave here. It should be a time of rejoicing. Because I'm going to tell you what, from everything that I've read, it's going to be a much better spot. Much better place. Much better atmosphere. Men are not going to be in charge. They are not going to be in charge. So you see, just like she's playing blessed assurance, we have that assurance when we have faith in God of where we will be, what we will be doing. You see, the instruction book here, it tells you every bit of that. All you got to do is read it. And the more that you read, the more excited you can get about being there. Because it's radically different from being here. Eternal life. Man, that's so far above our thinking. But it's in here. And it promises that. It gives us assurance of that. It gives us a joy of that. All we need is faith in God. Do everything that we need to do, regardless of what's going around, regardless of what's happening in our life. Because you see, this is just temporary stuff. Sickness, disease, loss of everything that you have, loss of children, loss of husband or wife, loss of family, whatever the things are that you put your faith in or your trust in or your hope in, those are all temporary. It's temporary. And it's temporary at best. That's as good as it gets here. But can I tell you, it only gets gooder there? It only gets to be better. The situations only get to be brighter. Says that he's going to shine brighter than the sun. Only with the spiritual eye will you be able to look at him. Anybody here want to look at the sun? Only sun I want to see is the Son of God. That sun out there, it comes and goes with clouds and rain and moving around in the heavens. But you see, the Son of God remains the same. Always right there in front of you. Always calling your name. Won't you stand with me this morning? You know something? Never get tired of preaching this word. Never get tired of telling the old, old story, just like the song said. I never get tired of it. Whether I'm at a funeral service, a church service, a breakfast, I never get tired of it. Because you see, it's always uplifting. It's always something that will edify you. It will lift you up. It'll be something that will make you happy, even when things are bad. I tell people all the time, they say, how's it going? I say, man, it's good even when it's bad. It's good even when it's bad, because I know who I know who I know, that one day I'm going to be with him. And all this trouble down here, it'll be behind me. How about you? Does everybody in this room have that full assurance in their heart and in their life of knowing Christ? Do you know him? You see, it all boils down to that. The Bible says, through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls are saved. And I'm about as foolish of a preacher as you can find. But I truly love that one that will come. I love all of y'all too, but I love them more. You know, even Jesus had his favorites. You know, Peter, James, and John. They went with him everywhere. I love seeing a soul get saved. I love when they come. And they stay. And they mean it. And they're changed from within. If there's one here today, won't you come? Today's the day. Now's the time. You're not assured to make it to the parking lot. Just the way it is. Well, let's have a word of prayer then. Father, help us, Lord. As your children, to follow after you, Lord, to reach out and touch you, Lord, each and every day, to live by faith, Lord. Oh, God, that our faith may be increased each and every day, Lord, that we're able to reach out into this lost and dying world, and they say, I'll see you in each and every one of us, because you live within our heart. Help us, Father, to have that mercy and grace and tenderness, Lord, about us, Lord, that will draw them, Lord, and they will see you and not us. Ask you, Father, to go with us, Lord, each and every day, Lord, that as our faith is increased, our wisdom and knowledge on how to apply it will be increased. I ask you, Father, to change our hearts first, Lord. Change our spirit. Change us, Lord. Change us, Lord, from the inside out, Lord. That each and every word we speak, Lord, will edify and glorify your holy name. I ask you, Father, to reside, Lord, with each and every one of these that are here today. Abide with them, Lord, in your love and your mercy and your tenderness. That, Lord, as they reach out to this lost and dying world, Lord, we'll see that one that would come. Or that two. Or that 100. Or that 500. How many ever, Lord, that you would call, Lord, that they would come. I pray for that today, Father. I pray, for Lord, for revival, Lord, in this community. I pray for revival, Lord, in all of our churches, Lord, around this land. I pray for revival, Lord, to break out, Lord, in every federal government, every state government, every city government, every county government, every official. Father, that their hearts, Lord, would be changed too. That they, Lord, would learn to follow after you, God. That they would do away, Lord, with the wrong and the evil that's being done and replace it only with your good. I ask you, Father, to go, Lord, with this congregation today, Lord. Let them be those mighty warriors for you, Lord. Those mighty prayer warriors. Those mighty witnessing warriors. That, Lord, that each and every time they open their mouth, you are the only reason that they have anything to say at all. I ask it all, Lord, in your most precious name. For I know, Lord, that through you and by you and for you, Lord, we should have our faith in you. And Father, I just give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.